The study of God, the existence of God. Theology comes from the word theos, meaning God, and logos, meaning word or doctrine. In a broad sense, the word theology means the entire study of Bible doctrine, the study of the Creator and His creation. In a more narrow sense, it refers to the study of the doctrine of God, His attributes and works. It is in this sense that we are going to study God in this file. This chapter will study who God is, what He has done in the past, and what He's doing today. Now, we assume God's existence. There is a God, Genesis 1:1. We do not argue for His existence, apologetics. He accepts us to accept the fact that He exists. In the beginning, God. He revealed Himself to man through His words, Hebrews 1:1-3, which means that we accept by faith that God has given us His word. Without it, we would not know how to be saved or how to have fellowship with Him as Christians. And apart from God's revelation, man drifts along into a meaningless existence that has no real purpose or goals. We have proofs of God's existence. To anyone who says, prove that there is a God, we say, prove that there is no God. To prove there is no God, one would have to go to every corner of the universe and look under every rock to show that He is not there. While that person was looking for God on one planet, God may be on another. Therefore, it would be necessary for the individual to be everywhere at the same time, which is not possible. In someone's desire to prove there is no God, he must possess one of the characteristics of God, omnipresence, intuition. It is natural for man to believe there is a God. The abnormal mind is the only kind that cannot accept the fact of God's existence. Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And James 2:19, you believe that there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. William Evans said, all the evidence points to the conclusive fact that this universal faith in the existence of God is innate in man and comes from rational intuition. Tradition states that it's been a common characteristic of all peoples throughout history to believe there is God in life after death. History proves that man is basically a religious creature. David Livingstone, after a detailed study of remote tribes of Africa, concluded that all people have a conception of God which they have passed on from generation to generation. Reason. By looking around to us, it's obvious that someone with intelligence created, ordered, and organized this marvelous universe. Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Now, in that reason, we look at cause and effect. If there's an effect, it demands a cause. The cause is behind all that man can see. It must be an omnipotent creator, a design and a designer. It's very doubtful that man will ever be able to create life. But what if God allowed man to have that privilege? What would it prove? Only that intelligence is required to create and order this world. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Hebrews 3:4, for every house is built by some man, but He that builds all things is God. F.L. Patton stated, quote, belief in His self-existence, personal God, is in harmony with all the facts of our mental and moral nature, as well as with the phenomena of the natural world. If God exists, a universal belief in His existence is natural enough. The irresistible impulse to ask for a first cause is accounted for. Our religious nature has an object. The uniformity of natural law finds an adequate explanation, and human history is vindicated from the charge of being a vast imposture. Atheism leaves all these matters without an explanation and makes not history alone, but our moral and intellectual nature itself an imposture and a lie. Let's look at the design in the heavens. The order of the universe, the sun, an ordinary medium-sized stars, yet its energy and violence defies imagination. The supreme engineering achievement of the sun and its location in the universe and the burning furnace of hydrogen activity and all the wonders that go in with that star absolutely point to the fact that a supreme intelligent and master builder created the universe. In the animal kingdom, the bee is a wonderful creature, and it's an amazing to produce honey and to how the whole design of how powerful it is and how fast its wings beat and how it goes and hoovers over a flower, or the silk of the spider. How strong it is, finer than human hair, and yet many times stronger than steel, or the design of the human body. It's the supreme achievement. The circulatory system, the capillaries, a baby, the bones. It's so wonderfully complex. Psalm 139, 14 through 17. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in your book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! And the design of the universe, the birds, the beasts, the whole creation, the flowers, botany, biology, the eye, all kinds of how incredibly complicated. Was it blind chance that there was light and that the refraction fit the eyes of all creatures that we could see? Sir Isaac Newton pointed this out. And the answer is, of course not. There was a divine creator and an intelligent being that orchestrated and called into order the entire universe. Revelation is God's disclosing to man things about himself that man could not know otherwise. There are two sections that we're going to cover here, general revelation and special revelation. General revelation is God's revelation of himself in creation, throughout history, and in man's conscience. Special revelation is God's in his word through his son, Jesus Christ. Without revelation, we don't know anything about God. So let's look at general revelation. The definition, God reveals himself to all mankind through the glories of his creation and his government of the universe. We know God by two means. First, by creation, preservation, and government of the universe, which is before our eyes as a beautiful book. All creatures, great and small, are so many letters, leading us to perceive clearly the invisible qualities of God, namely his eternal power and deity, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1:20. General revelation is seen in nature by all men. Acts 14:15 and 17. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Psalm 19:1 and Acts 14:15 through 17. We preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities to the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered, allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And then Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Okay, general revelation sees God as creator and governor. This is the theme of the book of Daniel. Each of the Babylonian kings came over this thought, God rules over all. Although these men generally accepted God's plan, the plan of salvation was unclear to them. There were three of these, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and Darius. Daniel 4:17, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will and set it up over it the basest of men. Daniel 4:25, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Daniel 4:34, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Daniel 4:35, who does according to his will, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what do you? And Daniel 5:21, and he, Nebuchadnezzar, was driven from the sons of men till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. Belshazzar, Daniel speaking to Belshazzar in Daniel 5:23, the God in whose hand you, Belshazzar's breath is and whose are all your ways has you not glorified. Daniel 4:25, the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. And Darius, Daniel 6:26, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. General revelation renders sinful men without excuse. Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. General revelation is insufficient for saving knowledge. It leads an individual in the direction of salvation, like the kings of Babylon, but it is not enough to teach the individual the way of salvation. A good illustration of this truth is in the New Testament in the account of the conversion of Cornelius in Acts 10, 1-2. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the poor and prayed to God always. Cornelius was very religious, moral, but he was unsaved. He had general revelation, but needed the truth of the gospel presented by God's man. Therefore, God appeared to Simon Peter by means of a vision and was instructed to give the gospel to Cornelius. Cornelius was not saved until he was able to hear the words from Peter. And when he did hear the gospel, he immediately accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Many people are open to the gospel message and waiting to hear the good news of salvation. Jesus said, "The fields are wide unto harvest, but the laborers few." The Lord seems to have more trouble getting his children to fulfill the great commission than he has in opening the hearts of the unsaved. All right. Secondly, general revelation and the need for it. Firstly, it saves the world from chaos and cruelty. God has provided three channels of general revelation for mankind: nature, conscience, and history. When I consider your heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visited him, Psalm 8:3-4. Conscience, Romans 2:14-15. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law to themselves, which shows the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another. And then in history, in Deuteronomy 28:9-10 and verses 15 and 37, the Lord shall establish you, the Hebrew nation, a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn to you, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all of these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the nations which the Lord shall lead you. And Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. These three channels, the world system realizes that sin needs to be punished and morality is given. It is necessary for order for a nation and a society to survive, but morality cannot save anyone. Secondly, it supports and illustrates the special revelation, God's Word. The glories of creation constantly reminders of His supreme being. It is the reasoning of man that sees the order and recognizes a designer. The wonders of the human body cannot be explained apart from God. God is powerful and wonderful enough to create all things that He would communicate with His creation. General revelation, therefore, encourages man to seek special revelation. General revelation and special revelation are like God's two books, His outdoor book, creation, and in His indoor book, the Bible. His outdoor book can be read by all. If it does not lead people to Him, they are without excuse, Romans 1:20. Sometimes outdoor books lead men to seek after God. God promises to reward the one who diligently seeks Him, Hebrews 11:16. And He will see to it that true seekers are given the truth revealed in His indoor book, the Bible. If a man is willing to accept the truth of God's outdoor book, God will see to it that he finds the truth of God's indoor book, the Bible. The universe and its laws also illustrate truths that we see in God's Word. The unending universe, the world of science, the physicists, the theories of light, all these are part of God's expression. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:8-9. Charles Spurgeon, called by many the Prince of Preachers, once asked how to reconcile the paradoxical truths of Scripture. They need no reconciliation, for they never fell out. Why should I reconcile two friends? Prove to me that two truths do not agree. These two facts are parallel lines. I cannot make them unite, but you cannot make them cross each other. Permit me also to add that I have long ago given up the idea of making all my beliefs into a system. I believe, but I cannot explain. I fall before the majesty of revelation and adore the infinite Lord. Now let's look at special revelation. By definition, it is an act of God whereby He reveals Himself and His truth to specific people at specific times and places. Yet the revelation was not for those people alone. God revealed Himself to Abraham, Noah, Adam, Moses, and yet what they learned of God has been recorded through all the ages. Firstly, special revelation cannot be learned on one's own. The unsaved man cannot appreciate God's revelation as seen in God's Word. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned or understood. Apart from the Holy Spirit, an individual will never understand the Bible. So it's useless to argue with someone about Bible doctrine. The Christian and the unsaved have no common ground until the unsaved individual accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior. Then he will begin to understand God's special revelation. At that moment, the Holy Spirit becomes his teacher. Next, special revelation is accepted by faith. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Reason tells us there must be a God. Faith is required for salvation. The only way an individual can understand what Jesus Christ has done is through God's Word. Faith, always determined by its object. The object of one's faith is man. It is a weak faith because man is weak. But if the object of one's faith is Jesus Christ, that faith is strong because God's Son is all-powerful. Special revelation is sufficient for salvation. The Word of God contains the gospel, which is all that is necessary for a person to be saved. So many have not heard the gospel story. Even if a person has accepted general revelation, he must be presented with the claims of the gospel before he can be saved. This is the heart cry of Romans 10:13-15. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. William Carey, considered the father of modern missions, in 1792 went before his brother to plead his cause for worldwide missions. The moderator of the meeting said, sit down, young man, sit down. When God sees fit to convert the heathen, he'll do it without your help or mine. But Carey believed that God would have him go to India. And as a result, he built schools and a Bible college in the Danish colony of Serampore, India. There he sent preachers out into all of India with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How shall they hear without a preacher? In 1813, the first American missionary, Adoniram Judson, began working as a missionary in Burma. In spite of the fact that he did not have one convert for the first 6 years of his ministry, he would not quit. During the war between England and the Burmese, 1824 to 1826, Adoniram Judson was thrown into a filthy prison. The poor conditions, the heat of the jungle, and recurring fever almost cost him his life. He was kept alive by his faithful wife. He lived to see that the results of his labors were not in vain, as thousands of Burmese turned to Christ. How shall they hear without a preacher? And then, finally, in this section, the need for special revelation. Man cannot be saved through general revelation alone. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Man cannot fully appreciate general revelation until he accepts special revelation. The unconverted man's heart is so blinded by sin that he cannot appreciate all that God has done. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. When a person accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior, then the lights go on, and that person understands God's creation and who he is. When I consider thy heavens and the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou hast visited him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor. Psalm 8:3-5. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1-7.